It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show on this the Sunday before Christmas. Happy holiday season to everyone. Wherever you might be listening, I hope you have a joyous and wonderful Christmas and holiday season. So, presents under the tree. Wow. Start off with the present that the Governor DeSantis is proposing for Florida in a state budget to fund Everglades restoration, improve water quality, and marine habitats. If only Illinois could think about things like this on a scale like this. Florida is a state, of course, bursting with budget surpluses. You could say it's because of management. You could say it's because of the millions of people moving there. Whatever the reason, Florida's got lots of money. So, the Everglades for Florida, as we've discussed often on the air, is, well, it is the most important natural resource, not only in Florida, but frankly, among the most important in America. It is not the most important in America. It's certainly a natural resource that is of huge value, and it's of huge value to Florida because without the Everglades, the whole system pretty much collapses from Orlando south. When I say the whole system collapses, the watershed that the Everglades has not only provides water to millions of people, it provides water for weather, it provides water for an incredibly rich ecosystem of flora and fauna. Bird life is almost without equal in the Everglades. Reptiles, of course, absolutely dominate the Everglades. And unfortunately, the boa constrictor, which has moved in, or the python, rather, which has moved into the Everglades in recent years because some escaped from somebody somewhere. Now pythons are all over the Everglades, and they're trying to get rid of them. But the real issue with the Everglades is not enough clean water and not enough water. But here's what Governor DeSantis proposes in his budget. And for all of you listening in Chicagoland or around the country who are going to head to Florida this winter, think about these numbers and think about this plan. $1.4 billion for Everglades restoration and water quality. In Illinois, we can come up with billion-dollar budgets. We just have no way to pay for them. So here are the key things. Let me set up a little bit of background. The Everglades have been in trouble for a long time. They're really in trouble now because of the millions of people that have moved to Florida, particularly moved north of Lake Okeechobee, Orlando. Think about Orlando and the whole area up there. You have hundreds of miles of streams and watersheds feeding Lake Okeechobee that are really polluted. And they are really polluted because of millions of septic systems. The plumbing north of Lake Okeechobee is just broken. It was a magnificent Kissimmee River, and others were magnificent rivers that flowed clear from springs and came down through central Florida and eventually reached Lake Okeechobee. And then when Lake Okeechobee overflowed in its natural state, they would come on down and flood the Everglades all the way to Florida Bay. Well, of course, Lake Okeechobee has been dammed with a huge dam at its south end for almost 100 years. And the water coming north from north into Lake Okeechobee is no longer beautiful spring-fed water, clear. Instead, it's water that is filled with pollutants, mostly human. So the biggest problem, if you ask a lot of people in Florida, the biggest problem is simply water quality. The water quality coming from the north down into Lake Okeechobee is lousy, and it's lousy because of essentially a failed sewage system, and we have just hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of septic tanks that don't work, that were never designed, and an entire wastewater treatment system that is just overwhelmed. So we're going to spend $810 million of the $1.4 billion on for Everglades restoration. I don't know what that is. $681 million for the comprehensive Everglades restoration plan, which is the building of these huge reservoirs south of Lake Okeechobee. And then we're going to spend $50 million for specific project components to reduce harmful discharges into the Tallahatchie, and St. Lucie estuaries. We're only going to spend $79 million for programs in the northern Everglades, but we are going to spend roughly $400 million for targeted water quality improvements. A lot of people would say spend it all on targeted water quality improvements and you clean up the Everglades. So for all the actually hundreds of thousands or actually millions of people who visit Florida now on an annual basis and live there from Chicago in the Midwest, this is a gift to you. Of course, it's also going to be paid in large part by the federal government. So that's probably the biggest Christmas gift in the conservation/environmental movement this Christmas, is what the Governor DeSantis is proposing for the Everglades, and it is truly historic. And if they can get it right, it will work. There have already been hundreds of millions, if not well over $1 billion. In fact, I'm sure it is over $1 billion that's been spent on the Everglades so far with relatively little effect because, as a friend of mine once said, they're working on the wrong end of the horse. In this case, start up in Orlando and start with the plumbing coming south, and you will have an incredible impact on the Coolahatchie and the St. Louis estuaries, which, of course, then lead to all the pollution coming down the West Coast, coming all the way down through Naples and all the way down the East Coast, starting up in St. Lucie and coming all the way down by Jupiter Island, Palm Beach, and so on. So moving from the Everglades, let's talk about another Christmas present. Well, how about the present that's coming in July? The 250th anniversary of America. Absolutely phenomenal. And beginning in January, I think you're going to hear a virtual nonstop of what this anniversary celebration means for America. I was fortunate to be around for the 200th, and I remember the 200th. The 250th, I think, is even going to be bigger because of technology and everything we've got. So there will be so many events across the country to celebrate America's 250 years. And maybe the best present that can come from America's 250 years is a coming together of this country. So as we think about Christmas and the holiday season, we think about families coming together, we think about all the joy, maybe the big present under the tree is what's going to happen come January 1st, leading up to July 4th, and all the way through the year, a coming together of America to celebrate all of America's great wonders. And I will be doing a lot on the celebration of America's great outdoors, which I call and others call simply America the Beautiful, and what that means and how we as a nation can celebrate the incredible habitats that we've saved over 250 years. The habitats that we manage, as well as things that we still have to do. So before I go to the break, I just want to say, let's think when we're around the holiday season about 250 years as a country. There have been times when we as a country were incredibly divided, to the point we had a civil war. We think that we're divided now. We're not divided compared to what we were divided in 1862. We certainly are not, and we have had other times when we were very challenged. We as a country have an opportunity in our 250 years anniversary to come together and indeed to celebrate America the Beautiful. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors, and when I do, I'm going to talk about a drive I made, which is through memory lane, down memory lane, but also a drive which shows how much things have changed in America in agriculture. And we wonder why we have fewer birds. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Charlie Potter in the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Then I would talk about a drive down a bit of memory lane. This past week, I had the pleasure of returning to a place that I've been many times in my life. It actually all began for me back in way, way back, over 40 years ago, 1982, when I was writing for Field & Stream and Outdoor Life, and I made my first pilgrimage to the Mississippi Delta. And when I say the Mississippi Delta, I'm referring to the land between Memphis, Tennessee, and Vicksburg, Mississippi, not the mouth of the Mississippi and the Passaloot, which, of course, I have described on the air several times. So flashing back that 40 years to now, and a drive that I've made, I really don't know how many times, but an awful lot. Down Highway 61, down Highway 1 along the Mississippi through the heart of the Mississippi Delta, and then crossing the bridge at Greenville, Lake Village, Arkansas, Greenville, Mississippi into Lake Village, Arkansas, and then coming up Highway 1 and Highway 165 on the west side of the Mississippi River. We wonder why we don't have a lot of birds, and why in particular waterfowl, particularly duck populations, are in serious decline. But we know how serious the decline songbird populations are, all wetland bird populations. All one has to do is, unfortunately, drive from Memphis, Tennessee to Vicksburg through the heart of the Delta, one of the richest, most fertile farmland, productive farmland areas in the United States. Of course, it was all timber at one point. Yazoo Basin, over 2.5 million acres in size, was 100% hardwood timbers. It was the largest contiguous hardwood forest in the United States. Actually, from St. Louis on down, all the way to the mouth of the Mississippi, was one continuous hardwood forest. That's where, of course, the ivory-billed woodpecker lived. Today, there's almost not a tree left. In fact, I had a hard time finding a blade of grass. Agriculture has, for the production of crops to feed America and the world and clothe America and the world with cotton and all the modern equipment we have, it has absolutely napalmed the landscape. And that's not a term I like to use because it certainly has horrible connotations. The landscape is destroyed from the shoulder of the road. And if they could plow the road, they probably would. And I'm not blaming anyone. Everyone has to make a living. But from the shoulder of the road, as far as you can see, to maybe a low-lying area where the trees couldn't be cleared because, as it's called in the South, a break, which is a bayou, a small depression, it's just tabletop flat, and everything is plowed. The only areas that are not plowed are those areas that people use for hunting. It's safe to say if it was not for hunting in the Mississippi Delta, that is hunting of deer, hunting of ducks, hunting of turkey, there probably would be far less habitat left than there even is today. I think percentage-wise, certainly the drive from Memphis to Greenville would indicate 95 or even a larger percentage of the forests are gone, the sloughs are gone, the wetlands are gone. It's all plowed. There's no food. And we wonder why migratory birds are having a tough time. One of the greatest concentration areas in the entire continent for wintering waterfowl is is plowed, barren. And on that barren landscape, we are now looking at a huge concentration of snow geese, which used to go down to the Katy Prairie outside of Houston. Well, the Katy Prairie outside of Houston now is mostly paved over. And they used to go to the Gulf Coast in Louisiana and feed in the marshes. Well, the marshes are, as we talk often, are in serious decline. And then they fed in the vast rice fields of South Louisiana. Those vast rice fields are gone. They've been turned to crawfish or sugarcane. So the geese have been moving ever north because there was food. Well, now with modern agriculture, and really we've had modern agriculture for a long time, but the most modern agriculture, the techniques are to plow everything in the fall and have it ready to go in February for the planting of corn, which is I think now maybe the most dominant crop in the Mississippi Delta. And the corn is harvested in July. Think about that. We're harvesting corn in October and November in Illinois. Well, in July, the corn is harvested in Mississippi and in Arkansas. So the landscape has virtually just has nothing left. And when I sit here thinking about presents we should have, maybe things we'll talk about New Year's resolutions next week. What's happened in the South to the destruction of habitat that feeds so many millions, tens of millions of birds. Yes, it helps feed the world and feed America, but there's no balance right now. Only in places where people actually are hunting do we still have much habitat. Arkansas is better off because of the hunting tradition and commercial duck hunting tradition and waterfowl hunting around Stuttgart and southern Arkansas is very big, so there's a lot more land being set aside. But it reaffirms to me that if it wasn't for sportsmen and women, we would not have much left in this country when it comes to habitat. And it's evident. It's so evident as you drive through the Mississippi Delta. Thanks so much for listening. And all of you, I hope you have a wonderful, most merry Christmas and happy holidays. I'll be back next Sunday morning. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.